beware. Contains very offensive language right from the start and throughout, and adult themes.
Previously on Dubious Intent Plus.
And now it's three heroes to two. We see retreating back here. Oh, but hold that thought. At the very top, they're going to try to take the shrine at the very top. Is it going to be able to deny the Dragon Knight?
Oh, well, it looks like the SCD.
Yeah, just barely. However, is the core protected, I guess, is the other question we got to ask ourselves here.
Indeed, and Jaina being taken out in a matter of seconds. King Caffeine is back. He denied the Dragon Knight, but can he deny his team's defeat? It is not looking like it. Tempo Storm just tearing down this core. It doesn't look like there's enough damage to stop him.
And it looks like game number one is going to go to Tempo Storm as the core goes down. GG!
From the Palatial Bride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by Sephora Nude Skincare. For silky smooth, newly supple, and deeply moisturized skin, all it takes is one replenishing step. This plush, velvety cream melts into skin, allowing it to drink in nourishing omega-6 and 9 probiotics and protective antioxidants while creating a soft, luminous finish. Find out more about it, go to totallynudeskincare.com, and don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DIPLUS for an undressed discount. Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I'm joined from the nude skincare free state of New York by the one and only Mr. Toppy Smelly. Hello, Toppy.
Yes, hello. And don't forget about Cornhuskers lotion. Also a good hand lotion.
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. You know, it is... Hi, Toppy. Adam is, of course, in Puerto Rico this evening, and you have very generously agreed to step in and to be here. So thank you.
Well, thank you. You know, it was a couple weeks ago. I was supposed to be on here with Adam. At that time, you were gone. Oddly enough,
it was. And this is what I think. This is what I think happened.
Oh,
you were like, oh, I'm going to be on DI Plus, and then you found out it was Adam that you were going to be guest hosting with, not me. And then you made up an excuse not to be on it because, you know.
Listen, I don't know what your deal with Adam is, but I'm not playing along on this one. Because, you know, Adam was very nice about it. I explained in an email why I couldn't be there. And he was very, very nice about it. But
You couldn't even call him? You had to send him an email?
I didn't have his phone number.
Did you text him? Like, I don't want to see you anymore.
No. On Friday night, so, you know, a couple of days before, three days. But anyway, he was very nice about it. But I half wonder, you know, confidentially, if maybe to you he really ragged on me. You know, I'm thinking maybe. Oh, Adam's listening.
Okay, great. Oh. You know, just like if you were to rag on him, I would not betray your confidence to him. See, so I really couldn't say one way or the other.
Yeah, no. It's fine.
Yeah. Anyway, so thank you so much for coming and stepping in this evening and being a guest host on the Dubious Intent Experience.
Thank you very much for having me. You know, I am always here. It was that one Sunday night. It was like the first Sunday night I was never here. I was there.
Usually you're in the chat room at this point in time bitching about how late it is.
I know. Yeah, it is kind of late.
Well, you know what, Toppy? It is 9:12 p.m. on a Sunday evening, and that can, of course, mean only one thing. We are streaming live on Pride48.com in front of the world's most amazingly patient chat room. Toppy, who was in the chat room with us this evening?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Daniel. First of all, there's the Adam Burns himself.
Wow, Adam Burns.
And then Auntie Vera Charles, our favorite auntie. Mm-hmm. Cyclone is there, too. And then the aforementioned Lamont Cranston.
Well, we mentioned him in the pre-show. That wasn't the people listening at home.
We'll catch you up later, audience. Then there's Mags. Hey, Mags. Always good to see Mags here. And then,
you know, Mags has a new title on the show.
He's our
wrestling expert. So if anyone dies in the world of wrestling and Mags calls in and someone else calls in to report it, Mags gets the point.
Oh, well, you know, that whole thing at the beginning there, I was pretty sure that was a professional wrestling.
That was eSports. That was Heroes of the Storm. That is my chosen sport. That is Heroes of the Storm. That was an amazing match, too. That was Tempo Storm playing Cloud9 in the North American Finals.
Of what?
Of Heroes of the Storm. Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah.
We were there. We were at Mags. Who else have we got there?
Then NTVR Charo. Now, that may mean something. Daniel, do you know what does that mean?
NTVR Charo.
I mean, I know Charo. And she has the guitar and she sings. She wears red lipstick and she was on Love Boat.
It sounds like NTVR Charles.
It does.
NTVR Charo.
Oh, yeah. NTVR. That's what it is.
It's a play on NTVR Charles. Yeah. Also in the chat room, because they've dropped down. Also in the chat room, we have Minion 51 and OK Parker.
Not to mention a Mib.
That's right.
Hi, Mib.
So there you go. It's so weird not seeing you. I mean, it's fine. We're moving on, but I'm used to seeing Adam, so I can see like the look on his face. Yeah. You know, it's like what I'm saying is when we record the show, we do it visually, Toppy. That's the
right. You guys use hand signals and stuff. The more you know,
we do. We do a lot of hand signals. A lot of what am I trying to say? I don't know what it is. So in the pre-show, when we were warming up the crowd, we talked about sleepwalking.
Yeah.
And you, someone in the chat, who was it? Parker in the chat room said that he has sleepwalked to turn off the alarm before. And I was saying that I, as a child, I have sleepwalked, you know, when I was like maybe 9 or 10, I remember having bouts of sleepwalking where I would wake up like down the hall or in the closet or somewhere, you know, and I would wake up but I was having a dream that I was somewhere else. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like I'm going to the bathroom. I'm going down the hallway to the bathroom, but I actually ended up in the closet. You know, thinking that was the bathroom, and I couldn't get past the door because you know, obviously it was a wall. You know, stupid things like that. And I remember those things, and I've not had any sleepwalking in my adult life that I can remember until I was in Anaheim a few weeks ago.
Really?
And this is really kind of it was a horrible experience actually. I had gone out to a party because I was there for BlizzCon. I'd gone out for a party, and we were quite drunk, and I had stumbled back to my hotel room. And I guess I'd fallen asleep on the bed. I just passed out on the bed. And I had a dream about something, but the crux of the dream was we all had to get out of the building. And I kind of woke up as the door to my hotel room was shutting behind me.
Oh.
And I was locked out of my hotel room in the hallway.
Oh.
With a pair of pants on only. I didn't have shoes on. I didn't have a shirt on. I had no wallet. I didn't have keys. I was locked out of my hotel room.
Oh dear.
At about 4 a.m. in the morning, and I had to go down to the front desk and beg them to make me a key. So.
And you were probably like still maybe a little wobbly.
Maybe a lot wobbly, but yes. And then they make you pay, you know, they make you play like 20 questions, right? Because you don't have any. What are you typing? What are you typing there, Toppy? I can hear
you. No, I just went LOL.
They make you prove what you know that you're you. So it's like, you know, they're asking you all kind of questions because you don't have your wallet on you, whatever. There's like, you know, what is your home address? And I like gave my home address. And they're, nope, that's not right. I'm like, yes, it is right. That is my home. I swear to you, that is my home address. And then they're just like, okay, well, what car do you have parked here? And I'm like, it's a Chevy. And then she's like sticking her head no. And I'm like, no, it's a Chevy Sonic. I rented a Chevy. So, oh, okay, it's a Sonic. Okay.
Oh, she wasn't having any of it.
I know. And I'm like standing there feeling quite naked. You know, I mean, I had jeans on, but I was still feeling quite naked. And I just wandered back in and I was like, you know, whatever. Just keep.
Were your nipples hard?
No.
Oh.
I was very embarrassed. I just wanted it over. I wanted it over. I wanted to get back to my room and crawl under the blankets.
Yeah. No, this is very embarrassing. Imagine if you didn't.
I'm so sorry. So sorry. I forgot to warn you on this show. Occasionally the phone, I know you don't listen to the show, but occasionally the phone rings. It's our death phone that I have to answer and see if someone has reported a death. So hold on, please.
Yeah, hi guys. RT Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Uh-huh. Trumpeter for Sly and the Family Stone. Cynthia Robinson, dead at 71. Bye.
No.
You say no?
I loved her.
Oh, okay. Well, do we give it to him or not? I don't know. I
mean, Sly and the Family Stone. Now, it seems to me I've heard that. It's a band, right?
Sly and the Family Stone, yeah. What do they, they sing?
Maybe she plays the, Adam says she plays the trumpet.
What did Sly and the Family Stone, what are they,
What did they do? What did they?
Are they famous for this?
Is this them? Apparently, they're from the 50s.
I don't know. I think it's this. I think this is the. I think that was a cover group. Yeah, there you go. The Sly and the Family Stone was famous for this song.
Oh my God.
All right, we'll give it to him. Congratulations, yeah, RT Cruiser. Yeah.
You know what? That is one of my favorite songs ever, and I never would have known it was a Sly the Trumpeter Stone.
So you see, I'm not the only person that might know a song but doesn't know who the fuck Gwen Stefani is.
Well, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I did not know. I think I've heard the name Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani. Yeah, yeah. Gwen. Gwen. Yeah, Gwen Stefani is.
Was it Gwen or Glenn?
It could be either. I'm not really sure. Right. Anyway, so you had said in the pre-show that you wanted to ask me questions about sleepwalking. So what were your questions about sleepwalking?
Well, I'm fascinated by sleeping. First of all, this is what I don't get. Now, okay. I know this is just a word that we've come up with to describe this kind of behavior. But you obviously, if you're walking around the house or, you know, whatever, you must be awake enough to know that you're going down the stairs or opening this door. Maybe you think it's the bathroom door, but it's the, you know, the closet door. But somehow you have some sort of sense of your environment.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then people say, well, no, I'm, you know, in my dream, I'm like walking on the beach, not right. In my house.
Yeah.
But so what do you remember seeing?
It's, you know how dreams are, right? I mean, you know, dream realities are so weird anyway. Like when you're dreaming and you're like, you're driving a car, but then you look out the window and it's actually the water and then you're in a boat and you don't think twice about it because, you know, of course I'm in a boat, you know?
Yeah. Well, that really happened to me once. Anyways, just go ahead.
So you don't, you know, you're still dreaming. So you don't really have that sense of logic, right? Like you don't have an awake conscious mind going, wait a second. This is, you know, there shouldn't be clothes in the bathroom. Why am I walking through clothes, you know?
Right. But your eyes must be open.
I don't know, because I was in a dark room and I don't know.
But how could you negotiate the room if you somehow there's like a disconnect? You're like, your eyes aren't seeing what's there, it's seeing what you're dreaming. But somehow,
yeah,
this is what I don't get about sleepwalking.
I don't know. It's just crazy. It's just crazy, Toppy. It's a crazy thing.
Yeah.
Wow, this is great.
You know, the one of my favorite cartoons is the old Popeye cartoons, not those crappy new ones that were done in the 60s. Ugh. Those are awful.
So what is the difference between the ones that were done in the 60s and the ones that were done
in the 60s? Oh, they're horrible. Oh, they're horrible. Oh, my God, there's no comparison. No, I'm talking about way back when Popeye, you know, full animation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was this famous one where I think Olive Oil is sleepwalking, and she likes walks, and she steps on this pipe thing that's being dragged by a crane, and then just before she falls off, another crane brings over another pipe thing, and she walks.
No, wait, these were done in the 60s, because I've seen that Popeye cartoon.
I guarantee you that wasn't done. In the that horrible crap they did in the 60s. No, no, no.
See, Mags in the chat room remembers. I remember this. I remember the Popeye in the olive oil, and she would sleepwalk, and she had her hands up in front of her like a zombie.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, that was full animation from the Fleischer Studios, and it was probably, I bet you it was black and white. It had to have been black and white, and but you may have saw it in the 60s, but it was originated.
I'm not old enough to have seen it in the 60s.
Well, you'd saw it after. But anyways, I'm just saying the crappy cartoons they made in the 60s were just no comparison.
So basically, any cartoon made in the 60s is crap.
No, I'm not saying that. But I just mean, if you want to see Popeye, you want to see the original movies that were made for the theater.
Okay.
No.
So when you were a kid, did they play these cartoons at the theater?
No, I'm not that old.
Well,
for God's
I don't know.
Sake.
You're talking about them like you know, as some form of authority here.
No, you know, eventually they made their way onto TV. That's where I saw them.
I mean, the only cartoons I've ever seen at a movie have been like at a Pixar, you know, where they have a little short. They have a little short before the film.
Yeah, me too. The whole experience of movies has long since dropped the first reel, funny, and the newsreel and the cartoon. That's been gone for a long time.
Been gone for a long time, huh?
Yeah. Long before I was alive, that was all gone.
See, I get the sense that we're the same age, but I don't know that we're the same age.
Oh, I'm 53.
Okay, well, I'm 48, so yeah, we're close.
Close
to the same age.
Yeah. No, I saw those things on TV.
Okay, I think you and I just had very different tastes in childhood. Like I was talking a long time ago when I got the Marvel app for my tablet.
Yeah.
So it's called Marvel Unlimited, and it's like, I forget what it is. It's like $9 a month or something. And you basically, you get access on your tablet to all of the old Marvel magazine, you know, Marvel comic books.
Right? Wonderful.
All of them, like 120,000 of them or whatever.
Excellent.
Excuse me, I had to burp.
Oh.
And
now, if I was watching you on video, I would have sensed
you
that.
Yeah, you would have seen that.
But, you know, we're just looking at each other's pictures, yeah, so
it's much better,
clearly.
Much better to tell people that I was burping. I shouldn't have even muted it at this point. I was just like, anyway, so I got this Marvel app where I could watch, you know, I could read these comic books, these back catalog of comic books. And I went back, I decided I wanted to go back and see where the Avengers started. So I was reading Tales of the Something, which is where the Avengers started. Because they didn't get their own title. It was like Tales of the Amazing or something like that.
Well, I'm not to be a big pants boy, but I'm going to disagree. And the Avengers did indeed debut with their own title. They were not part of another book.
Oh, maybe that was Iron Man that started in the
That
Tales.
Is true. Okay. Tales, okay. Mags yeah. has it in the chat
Tales
room.
Tales of Suspense.
Tales of Suspense was a comic book that prior to 1963 or so, or 1962, was full of the kind of Twilight Zone short stories. There were usually three or four of them. And Marvel just churned those out, just ground those out. And then they started doing the superhero things when they made their comeback in 1962. And so they started devoting all of their comic books, Tales of Suspense being one, which, you know, would have spooky sci-fi stuff. And they started devoting them to superheroes. And people were used at that time to short stories. So they said, well, we'll stick two superheroes in here. And so Iron Man and Captain America for a while shared the same comic book.
Right, and I read some of those, but in the very first video. By the way, here's a nice piece of trivia because I know you're a Marvel guy.
No,
who were the original Avengers?
Well, first you had the Ant-Man and the Wasp, then your Thor, then your Iron Man, and then of all people, the Hulk.
And it was so weird because I did not know this until I read this. The Avengers was actually formed to stop Hulk. It's like they decided the Hulk was too powerful, so then they decided to all keep an eye on him or something.
That's true. They were being tricked, actually, by Loki, who has become known in the Thor movies,
right.
Thor's brother, mm-hmm. the trickster. Mm-hmm. And they were being tricked. I forget exactly what Loki was going to... I guess he thought Hulk was going to kill Thor or something. Anyways, so Loki basically tricked...
So in Avengers number one, we have Hulk and all the Avengers trying to catch him to, you know, to keep him in line. And in Avengers number two, Hulk is like, screw you guys. And he leaves. And he's gone, you know, until like, I don't know, Avengers like 90 or something. He's gone for a long time.
I think 100 was the next time he... No, that's not true. He was briefly in a couple issues around the 74 or something. Anyways, I've often wondered... because they started with the Hulk in there. The thing is, Hulk had his own comic book, and it kind of failed after 6 issues. And I often wondered, why did they have the Hulk in there, and why did they take him out? And I think it's because, I think I have 2 theories. One is they weren't confident that he was going to be popular. The other theory I have is they wanted to stick him in another comic book, and they didn't think he'd do good in 2 different ones. So,
you know, it kind of parallels, not to get too geeky, but it kind of parallels what we see in the movies, right? Just like, arguably, the Avenger films are Hulk movies because the Hulk standalone movies just did horrible. It's like the 2 standalone Hulk movies that they made had, you know, they didn't really go anywhere. They didn't have great box office returns. There wasn't really anywhere you could go with them. All we got was an origin story told 2 different times in 2 different ways. Hulk really came into his own in the Avengers films. So it's you could arguably say, you know, the Avengers films is kind of like, you know, the Hulk films, right?
Yeah.
Because he was such a central character in both of them. But back to the Marvel Unlimited thing. Mm-hmm. If you ever get a chance, I'm sure you can find it online. I'm sure if you Google it online, you can find some of the panels from the original Avengers or any of those comics back in the 60s. And even before that, because I went back to the Tales of Suspense to read the Iron Man origin story, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was, they are so of their time.
Oh, God, yes.
They are so misogynistic. They are just incredibly racist. It's just, they're an absolute reflection of the 50s, you know, America. It's just kind of like, yes, we're all polite to each other, as long as you're not black or a woman. You know, we all call each other sir and ma'am, but we don't want to allow women to vote. You know, that kind of thing. But it's funny to me to read those things, you know, because I was introduced to all of them only through their modern day movies, right? I wasn't, like, I think you and I are exactly opposite, right? You read the comics, you knew these characters throughout your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they made the movies, if you saw them, I don't know if you did or not.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to say I have not. I don't get out much, but anyways, I'm waiting to buy them, you know, a DVD or something. I've seen the Iron Man movies. I have not seen the Avengers.
Well, they're on Netflix.
Yeah. Oh, Netflix. Oh, yeah.
Netflix streaming. So you can watch them right in the comfort of your own home there. Anyway, but my point is that, you know, I knew them in their modern incarnation and then went back to see what they were. One of the most fascinating things to me, though, which is this long rambling story, is all to bring up the subject of Rick Jones.
Yeah.
So one of the most fascinating things to me is in the Avengers, when they were chasing off the Hulk, there's like this pimply faced little kid named Rick. And he's just like, I'm the Hulk's friend. I'm here to protect the Hulk and you shouldn't do him. And Minion 51 in the chat room asked a few lines back up. He's like, did you mention Captain America? Captain America was not one of the original Avengers. He didn't come in until issue 3, I think.
Issue 4.
Okay, issue 4. And as soon as Captain America shows up, Rick Jones is like, who's the Hulk? I have no idea who the Hulk is. He's not. I like Captain America. And it's like the beginnings of all of the Avengers after that all had some variation on Rick Jones standing in front of his teen buddies. And Captain America would swing by to pick him up. And they'd all go like, you're so lucky, Rick. You're so lucky that you get to spend time with Captain America.
Yeah.
It was like so borderline pedophile weirdness there.
Well,
it was
I guess. You know, the great artist and creator that Marvel owes everything to, and I do mean everything,
yes.
Jack Kirby. He, in the much earlier in his career, had launched a few comic books of what he would call these teen brigade comic books kind of things. They were teens who went on adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And they all ceased publication at some point. And Kirby saw an opportunity to sort of just retry that theme in the early issues of the Avengers. And he did call them the Teen Brigade, and it was Rick Jones and his teenage friends.
Oh, I thought it was like the Teen Radio Brigade or the Ham Radio Brigade.
Yeah, something like that. I think they called them the Teen Brigade. And I think also because Kirby, who originated Captain America way back when, teamed him up very early with Bucky, who was this teenager. And I think he was thinking along those lines.
Yeah, I think even when Captain America saw Rick Jones, he's like, oh, my God, he looks like Bucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just really weird. It was just really weird.
It wasn't until 72.
Oh, hold that thought. Hold that thought there. Sorry about that. Let's just get to this phone call here. We have someone died. Let's see who it is.
Hey, Dubious Intent guys. This is Sean Dallas calling. And, oh, my God, David Carey, former star of All My Children, died today. Hmm. How horrible is that? And dramatic.
Wait, did he die on the show, or did he die?
No, no.
He died. All right, well, fine. There we go. What are you doing? You're making all kind of weird noises, and I can't see. What are you doing over there?
Horribly sorry.
Congratulations.
Did they leave their name?
That was Joe and Dallas.
Oh, okay.
He started it off that way.
Oh, all right.
He said, hi, Doobies and Tink Guys, it's Joe and Dallas.
That's true. Joe and Dallas must be a soap opera fan. But a lot of people closer to my age would know David Canary as an oft-used character in Gunsmoke. I forget the name of his character.
If only there was an internet-worked system of computers whereby we could ask that. What was his name? David what?
David Canary.
Canary. Let's see. On Gunsmoke, he was... was it Gunsmoke or Bonanza? Because they're saying Bonanza.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, Kathy Marshall put Bonanza in it. I suppose I could have sworn it was Gunsmoke, but maybe it was Bonanza.
It says he was, let's see, best known
he was like a neighbor, and he was sometimes involved
on the Western series Bonanza. And then he appeared in the now classic Western movie Hombre.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, hold on. He guest starred in a 2-part episode of Gunsmoke entitled Nitro.
Yeah, he was a character actor, and he landed it big on All My Children, which he was on that goddamn show for 30 years, 20 years, I don't know.
Here's a fun fact right out of Wikipedia. A contract dispute between Leonard Nimoy and the producers of Star Trek forced Herb Solo, Robert Justman, and Gene Roddenberry to compile a list of candidates for consideration to take over the role of Mr. Spock.
Mm-hmm.
And David Canary was on that list. He was the top name on that list.
Get the hell out.
Let's see. If Leonard Nimoy had not gotten his contract renewed, that settled, then we would have had David Canary as, like Dr. Spork. Or just Mr. Spork. Spock's twin brother. It's Spock's brother, yeah.
I did not know that. That's fascinating. I'm trying to envision David Canary in that makeup. I don't know. I he's a good actor. He probably would have pulled it off, but of course it would have been a completely different Spock. Spock.
Well, I'm saying it wouldn't have been Spock. It would have been somebody else.
Yeah.
They would have, because they'd already had a season at that point, so it couldn't have been, Spock.
But in this alternate world, we would have known him as Spock. Spock. And
is that like your one William Shatner impersonation?
Yeah. Yeah.
Spock.
Spock.
I don't understand what you're doing. The original series TOS, mm-hmm. to Trekkers,
yeah.
Is on Amazon Prime, and I was watching a couple of episodes last week, just because they showed up as suggestions and everything, and they've been remastered, so all the effects shots in them have been cleaned up and redone. So when you see the ship flying around the planet, it doesn't look crappy.
Right.
Quite nice.
Yeah, more than cleaned up, they've been virtually replaced by.
Computer shots,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I just wondered what do you think? Are you able to get into it, or
here's my problem, and I should probably turn to the internet to help me out here. We have gone through a fundamental shift in the way that television happens over the past couple of decades, right? Let's say starting just tentatively with things like the X-Files, where they had threads of stories that ran throughout an entire season or throughout an entire series. The original series of Star Trek is very much a canned show. It starts and ends, and it rarely has an effect on anything else, any other episode. There's going to be a beginning and an ending, and that is all kind of self-contained. It doesn't matter what order you watch these things in, because something that happens in this episode is not going to get brought back up in another episode, right?
True.
Which leads to that thing that all true Trekkers know and like to turn their heads the other way when we think about it too much, which is the whole, why don't they just use the transporter? They just solved this problem last week. because these are all kind of canned shows. And what in the Next Generation, they actually near the end of Next Generation, I would say season four forward, they started to do more epic stories that transcend, you know, that went throughout, things that happened actually carried forward, you know, throughout right. the series. Like the whole a classic example is the return of Moriarty, where he you know, takes over the ship because they promised him that they would, and they forgot about him, and then they end up tricking him and putting him into a you know, an infinite holodeck simulation, whatever. But the point is, if you had never seen the original Moriarty episode two seasons prior, you would kind of be lost as to what was going on. And so I think my point is, if I can coin that phrase, is the modern television is such that I'm used to that, right? I'm used to modern television where it's like things affect the next episode. And so I find it very difficult to watch the first season of Star Trek, because I decided to start watching it in order that I had on Amazon. And it was quite clearly not shot in that order, because the uniforms are completely different between the two. The very first episode has Dr. McCoy in it, but the second episode has some other doctor in it that is not Dr. McCoy, and their uniforms are different, and Spock's eyebrows are more severe. And then the third episode is back to having McCoy and having new uniforms. And then the fourth episode has, you know, different. It's clearly not done in order. You know, they were filmed in a certain order, but they weren't played in that order.
Right. there's a couple of reasons for this. Now, you said you watched it on Amazon?
Yes, on Amazon Prime.
Okay. I've heard that, well, I don't remember if it was Netflix or Amazon, but they, for some reason, numbered the Star Trek, the original series. They just sort of like, nobody knows why they numbered them the way they did or put them in the order. So some of that is Amazon. The other part is that Star Trek had two different what you call pilot episodes.
Yeah, well, yeah, I knew that, right? Because I know that the original pilot episode with Captain Pike was later turned into a two-part series.
Right.
You know, a two-part show where they flashbacked to it.
Yeah, you know? It was deemed to be too intellectual and not enough action. So they did another pilot episode. And I think what you saw there was Amazon saying, well, I think we'll start with this one, and then we'll put this one with Captain Pike here, and then, and I think that's what happened.
Okay. Now, Auntie Vera Charles in the chat room just linked me to a documentary called Chaos on the Bridge, which I have actually watched, by the way. I saw that. That was also on Amazon Prime, so I did watch that the other day.
Very good.
Which it was about the struggle. It was basically the behind the scenes story of Roddenberry and the network and the clashes that they had, and Roddenberry with the other writers and stuff like that. Anyway.
Did you know that Roddenberry was bothing Uhura? Yeah.
Oh, hold that thought.
Oh dear.
Hold that thought. Let's someone has died. Let's find Uhura.
Hello. This is Arctic Cruiser speaking. And for the celebrity death phone call.
I know that voice.
And
it's Arctic Cruiser.
Soupy Sales died today. And also Tappy Smelly, because I'm going to kill
what?
Him when I get my hands on him. And I am a much better what? Guest. A much better guest than Tappy. I can't believe it. Ooh, I'm so angry. Oh. I can spit.
Oh.
Whoa.
Wow. That was
whoa.
That was completely unexected.
I should have.
No, I'm sorry.
Should have warned.
Soupy Sales has died a long time ago. So.
Yeah, poor Soupy Sales. You know, anyways, I didn't know exactly how offended. So, see, when I received this invitation, Sessie says I kept it a secret. I say I just didn't get around to mentioning it.
Right.
But if he had known, well, he probably would have been here. You know, it's probably best that he's just not here.
You know, I love Sassy. He and I worked together in Vegas 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We had a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Had a hard time regulating his microphone there in Vegas. It was whatnot. So I figured I might have those same problems. And, you know, when I'm doing the show, I like to drink, and you know, I might not be able to control
right.
that. The thing about Star Trek, I was getting back to Star Trek for a moment, which who knew that we were going to turn into this show, the sleepwalking Star Trek, Rick Jones Teen Brigade show.
Here's your title.
Oh. I think somewhere in, on the internet, I can find the original filmed, sequence, like what order they were filmed in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can watch those episodes in that way.
Even NBC, when they started, debuted the series, they did them out of order. The first show that came on was the salt monster that would take on the appearance of, other people.
I haven't even seen that one yet.
And that was
episode four.
That was not that was actually filmed later on in the season, but for some reason they just saw the man trap minion 51 says. They just thought that's a good one to lead with. So even originally, the man trap was not intended to be one of their first shows.
I know that Firefly suffered from the same problem. But unlike Star Trek, Firefly was a modern show that actually, you know, what happened in one episode carried forward to the next. And so by Fox airing them out of sequence, it completely messed up the narrative of the show. I mean, it was like, you know, there were things that were happening that you didn't understand. And then suddenly 2 weeks later, you know, there's the origin of those things happening. And that happens a lot, not a lot, but it happens occasionally in like shows like for instance, the new Supergirl show, they had an episode that was going to air, but it had terrorist bombings in it. And then the French thing happened. And so they substituted it with the episode that was running the week after because they felt that it was too close to that actual event.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some things that happened in that episode that made no sense. You know, so it's like you're watching this episode, it was like previously on Supergirl. And it's like, wait, I never saw that. Wait, when did that happen? You know, it's kind of one of those things. So
yeah.
This is why Sassy. This is why Toppy. I only binge watch now. It's like I'm just would rather wait for them to be done and then I'll just binge watch the entire season.
Mm-hmm. It does seem to be the way people are watching things now. I can understand that because I've certainly been binge watching Dark Shadows for the last 3 years.
See, this is an amazing time that we live in, and I love this because it's like I like my Thanksgiving. By the way, you know, I spent it by myself here in my house, in my apartment. I went out the night before to the grocery store and I bought some frozen burritos and some sweet potato tater tots, which because these are my two favorite comfort foods. And so
tell me the truth. Just to interrupt here briefly, did you buy the sweet potato thingies because you thought they were slightly healthier than the regular potato thingies?
No, I love sweet potatoes.
Oh, all right.
I love sweet potatoes. And sweet potatoes have more sugar in them than regular potatoes. Anyway, but I love sweet potatoes. I'm from the South, Toppy.
Yeah.
We have sweet potatoes. Anyway, the point is that I had this lovely meal and burrito. I like frozen burritos, like not good burritos, but like gas station frozen burritos, you know, like those bean and beef burrito kind of frozen things.
Joe Baton still talks to you.
I know. And I like to microwave them so they're soggy. And anyway, here I am sitting here on Thanksgiving Day. Now, most people, you know, the stereotype of Thanksgiving Day, right, is you sit down, you eat your meal, and then you watch sports all day long, right? This is the stereotype that is portrayed, you know, on TV. As, you know, it's the big sports day that you watch sports and, you know, everyone has their big meal with their family and then they watch sports. I live in a time where I can actually now watch esports. So it's like I spent my entire Thanksgiving holiday, Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday watching a Heroes of the Storm European tournament that went on for those days. So it's like I've had esports going on my TV the entire weekend. It's been great. It's been wonderful. I'm now out of
sport burritos. Ball.
No esports. No, there's no balls involved. It's esports. It's video game sports. It's watching people play video games.
Oh.
If you at the beginning of today's show.
That's super nerdy. I'm sorry.
On the previously on today's show. That was actually a clip from one of the matches that I was watching. But I will play. It's basically it's people, you know, it's two different teams playing this game called Heroes of the Storm that I play. They have color commentators during the entire. So these are professional teams, you know, that have gone through matches. But here I'll play a little snippet here. This is one of the matches. I just randomly picked one.
Look at the build. Looks like a hiring.
These are color commentators talking about them playing the video game.
We do see Vala players stick to one style. They either go for hungering arrow, sometimes auto attack or multi shot. But hybrid builds, of course, do exist.
Yeah, still pretty okay. Personally, I really like the composite arrow on the first multi shot buff there because it's kind of important to have the increased range hold. That's how we have a bit of a combo going down already. And the entangling roots, they're not enough lockdown.
See, you know, I've been watching this for 4 days. It's amazing. I love it. It's great.
How bizarre. Now, when I heard that at the beginning, I assumed that this was a regular sports, and I presumed
what do you mean regular sports? This is regular sports. This is video game sports. This is a game. It has skill involved. It has strategy involved. It has all those things.
Yes. You never have to leave the couch. But it's fine. No, I get the attraction. I've watched some video games just on YouTube.
So the chat room is saying, Parker is saying it's the first you've heard of esports. Oh, esports is big. I mean, StarCraft has been huge in the South Korea, I think, for a long time. But this is
I did not know it was a thing to this extent.
It is. Well, I mean, BlizzCon was my first mass exposure to it, where you just had like huge crowds of people, and it's watching them play. And when Cloud9 won the world championship at BlizzCon, it was amazing. It was great. And then Mags in the chat room is asking if I got Cho'Gall. Yes, since I went to BlizzCon, I automatically got Cho'Gall. But I did play my games with people that don't have it. You can't buy this new character named Cho'Gall. You can only give them. So you have to, if you went to BlizzCon, you automatically get Cho'Gall, which is a new character in Heroes of the Storm. But he's not for sale. You can't buy him in the game. But if you play with somebody that went to BlizzCon and you win two games playing this character with them, because it's a cooperative character, it's one character that's played by two people, then as soon as you win two games, then you get Cho'Gall. And then if you play two games with someone that doesn't have it, then they get Cho'Gall. It's kind of like a virus. So it's like it's this Cho'Gall virus that is going around. Yeah. Right now. But yes,
that's fascinating. Did you know that Cho'Gall is a belly button in Klingon?
I did not.
Yeah.
Cho'Gall is an amazing character. He is a two-headed ogre. And he's in World of Warcraft. He's a very central character in the current expansion of World of Warcraft, but in the previous expansion. But his name, Cho'Gall, is in the game because it requires five players on each side. There is a Cho and there is a Gall. And normally in Heroes of the Storm, like my screen name is Silly Circuit, right? So if I'm playing a character,
whoa. What is your screen name?
Silly Circuit.
Silly Circuit.
Silly Circuit. Yes. So if normally when me in Heroes of the Storm, that is the name that is above my head, right? No matter what character I'm playing, whether I'm playing Johanna or Nazeba or whatever, it's like the name above my head is Silly Circuit. But when you play Cho'Gall, it takes the first part of your name and then the second part of the person you're playing with, and it kind of apostrophizes them together. So then it becomes Sil apostrophe something. So, anyway.
Very good.
No one cared. Now, this goes down in history as the most boring episode. I love this stuff, but I'm just saying. No. I know we're gonna get like Adam's gonna be. Why are you talking about all that stuff? That's all boring stuff. Nobody cares about that.
No. For one,
hold on a second here. Let's find out what this is here.
Hey guys, just finished listening to your show and just got some news for the celebrity. Well, Minnesota celebrity Deathbone. Charlie Boone of the WCCO team Boone and Erickson died at 88. And this is a personal favorite of mine because my mom listened to their show every morning during school. So I basically grew up with them, but. Just do the because I know nobody else knows who this unless Sarah is in there. She might. He. I'm going to bed now.
All right. Well, there you go. You know what, Mags? I will give it to you. I will give it to you. Congratulations, you're entered into the contest. I don't know who it was, but you know, whatever. You're at least it's not RT Cruiser. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was another wrestler. But apparently not.
You know, one of the weird things about Mags is, and I keep meaning to bring this up, is when I took my trip to out to California, I had a layover for like less than an hour at the Minneapolis St. Paul airport. And I pulled my phone out and turned it on. And on Facebook, it'll show you when people are close to you. And Mags actually showed up. I didn't know that Mags was there in Minneapolis St. Paul. But he was basically like, Mags is going to a Halloween party tonight. And there was a link to the party invite that he is going to. Sorry, Mags, I had to go spend time at Vera's. But
yeah,
I would have rather gone to your party, really. Not that I was invited, but I just would have gone. Anyway. So what were we talking about before we were so rudely interrupted here with the with the death call? We were talking about this being a horrible show where I basically am talking about esports. And Adam's going to be very mad at me.
Yeah, the esports.
The Cho'Gall rash. The rash is spreading. The Cho'Gall rash is spreading across the country. You know, here's the thing. I love this esports thing. It's like a lot of times people will go, oh, I wish I was younger. And most times when people say they wish you're younger, it's because they feel like they're, you know, that they've lost their looks or they've lost something in their life or whatever. I just wish I was younger just because finally these things that I care about are coming into their own. It's like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and it looks weird for a 50-year-old guy to be there, you know, at the esports thing, banging the thundersticks together, you know, cheering for these things. But it's like, I love this. I wish I was younger because, you know, then I wouldn't stick out like a sore thumb, like loving this stuff, but I do love this stuff.
That's interesting. Now, see, I would have figured there'd be plenty of people your age at these sorts of things.
There are. But, you know, the people that play them are all very young. It's like, oh, they're also, it's like you look at one of the teams, you know, like, let's say like Dignitas, like Team Dignitas. They're all like, you know, 19 and 20 years old, you know, it's all young, all a bunch of young guys. Anyway, there you go. I have no follow up to that. Just to say, anyway, it doesn't matter. It completely doesn't matter. The final thing that I want to talk about here in this little segment here, Toppy.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you were on a little podcast called something. I forget what it is. Life on the Shit List.
Lots for short.
Now that Brenda Boo is Jewish, do you have to drop the word shit? I mean, is it, do you have to like life on the Fakakta list or something? Or?
Well, she does sometimes throw around those kinds of words. we haven't been required. She plays loosey goosey with it, you know.
Yeah, is that a Yiddish term? Loosey goosey.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what that is. But I listened to this little show. I don't know if you've heard of it before. It's called Big Fatty Online. I don't know if you've ever heard of that show.
I think so. It seems to me it's one of those shows that are out there that occasionally, you know.
Mm-hmm. The thing that I was listening to the show on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had pulled this clip. I should have pulled this clip. If I was more prepared, Toppy, I would have pulled this clip. But they were talking about going to a bar on Thanksgiving Day to get away from their family. And Fatty said something along the lines of, you know, what gay person wouldn't want to get away from their family on Thanksgiving? And that kind of, you know, I mean, it's a joke, haha. And they like to joke about that, you know, how horrible their families are. But there's a lot of movies that talk about like dysfunctional families and a lot of things that happen out there. I'm just curious. Like, I have a great family. I love my family. I would love to spend Thanksgiving with my family. I love to spend any time with my family because, you know, I love my family. And I saw that you had posted on Facebook the other day a video of your mammo making homemade cranberry relish.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that you also love your family and that you enjoy spending time with them. You know, I'm thinking. And I have nothing to back this up, but I'm thinking that people that like their family are probably the majority of the folks. I think that people that have these dysfunctional relationships or don't like their families are probably in the minority.
All things considered, probably. In the grand spectrum of getting along and not getting along, there's a lot of places in between there. But yeah, a lot of people, well, let's face it, a lot of holidays for some people are going to the family and just people arguing and stuff like that, which has never been my experience, but it happens, I know.
But
so
I don't know that it happens as commonly as it is. Like, I think any kind of consternation or any kind of problems that I've run into in my family gatherings all have to do with freaking in-laws. Like, it's like, it has nothing to do with my family. It has to do with, you know, the people they married.
Yeah.
or their crazy family, whatever. It's just like, you know, because, you know, families have their thing. Families, I mean, when you spend that, I mean, my family, I'm the youngest of four and we're all, you know, within range of each other. Right? My next older brother is 3 years older than me. My brother that I play World of Warcraft with is like 12 years older than me. And so like, we're like this tight unit that grew up together. Right. So we have kind of like shorthand speak, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we all grew up together. We don't need to explain things. I think that annoys some in-laws or whatever.
Oh, I see. Yeah. That could be because they're not always in on the, the gag or the, you know, what's going on. Right. So that's true. Yeah. I suppose it's, you know, I'd like to think most people have happy, warm fuzzies with their family, but I also know it's not always the case. I think, I don't know. I mean, Big Fatty talks about the hats.
I know, and I know that Fatty loves his parents, so it's just kind of weird that he would make that comment that, like, that he wouldn't be there when he knew his family. Now, Vera Charles in the chat room has written that I'm using too much dish soap, and I have to share this with you, now that it's been typed out there, is, you know, my dad passed about 3 years ago, and I was very, very close to my dad. And, I had, when I moved into this place, I was doing dishes. And for whatever reason, I just had this flashback to when I was like maybe 12 or 13 and I was doing dishes at my house in Plant City. And my dad thought I was using too much dish soap and he was yelling at me about using too much dish soap. And for whatever reason, when I was doing dishes that day, this thought came back to me, the dad yelling at me about using too much dish soap, which just made me use more dish soap. You know, screw you. Look at me. I'm using all the dish soap now. You know, I'm a big boy. I can use it all. And so I made the mistake of sharing that with Vera. And now she brings that up every time that I say anything about my dad. So.
Well, that's probably deserving.
Also, I replaced all the lights in this house with LEDs so that I could leave the lights on. Because that was the other thing I get yelled at all the time. You're leaving all the lights on. You're leaving all the lights on in all the rooms. You're not even there.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. So now I have LED lights. Screw you, Dad. I can leave the lights on if I want.
did you... my father's still on the turn off all the lights thing to this day. It's like, good Lord. And half the time, he's the one that left them on.
Well, there you go. That's the thing. And there was this other guy. What was his name? I don't know how to say this. The black member of your family.
My brother?
No. His name Supper. He was in that video. He was in the video.
The dorg.
What's his name? Soder.
The Wonder Dog. His real name's Soda. I just always say Soder. And Soder the Wonder Dog. Yeah, he's good Lord. I think he might be close to 5 years old already.
Wow.
Four.
That's not old at all.
And
he's a young dog.
Wonderful dog. Very young. Yeah, still very young. And my parents have always had Labradors. And this one just... they're all sweet. They've all been sweet, but this one's even sweeter than all of them combined. So just the world's greatest dog.
I do. I love dogs. Well, I love all pets, but I was just recently back from my place that had two Weimaraners. I don't know if you've ever heard of those.
Yeah. They're strange dogs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're all legs and they've got gigantic paws and ears.
Right.
And, and they do seem to enjoy laying on the bed.
on the couch.
From what I've seen.
Yes, on the couch. But they should always, always stay off the rug.
Yeah. Oh.
They should never, ever get on the rug. All right, let's do this and then we'll move on. Hello.
Yeah, hi guys. I see Chris for the Celebrity Death Fund. Hollywood director Elmo Williams, dead at 102. Won an Oscar for directing the movie High Noon. Okay, bye.
Really?
Huh.
Really?
Well, now listen. Everyone's heard of the movie High Noon.
Really?
Now, I didn't know the director, and I certainly, I can't say I've heard that name before.
Now, you know what? It's the holidays, Toppy. We'll give it to him anyway.
Right. If he directed High Noon, then there you go.
All right. You know what? Let's do this.
Now...
Break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it.
DI Plus Technology segment brought to you by the Smellcast. You don't talk about technology a lot.
You have to know something to be able to talk about technology.
Yeah. This kind of sounds like Sassy's cousin singing the song.
It does. Yeah. Now that, exactly,
yeah. Let's get to our phone call here. We have a phone call fresh in from the line here. Let's listen and see what it is, shall we?
Hello. This is Andrew, and I'm calling for some tech advice. So what do you do if you have something worse than a dingleberry on your behind? And by dingleberry, I mean Toppy Smelly.
Hey!
Yeah, he's worse than a dingleberry. You know why? Because he's a dried up, crusty dingleberry stuck to your ass hairs. And the only way you can get it off you is to, tear the ass hairs off your ass. So that's what I think about Toppy Smelly. Good day, sir. I said good day.
I apologize. So, I really do.
Dingleberries, which I think is my...
Come back here, you. No one likes a bath tissue that leaves pieces behind. That's why they're Charmin Ultra Strong. With this diamond weave texture, Charmin Ultra Strong is soft and more durable. More durable so it holds up better than the Ultra Rippled brand. Fewer pieces left behind. Now there's something to flip over. Charmin Ultra Strong. Look for it in the red package.
There you go. And Andrew, was that his name? Andrew, you should use Charmin Ultra Strong.
That's right. Andrew. Hey, do you think Dingleberry has made it into the official dictionaries of this world? Surely by now.
Hold on. What's a dingleberry?
What is it?
Dingleberry, a particle of fecal matter attached to the anal hair of an animal.
Oh, dear.
There you go. It is in the, it is a noun. Vulgar slang is a particle of fecal matter attached to the anal hair of an animal.
Oh, dear Lord.
It is also a, informally, a foolish or inept person.
Oh.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah, that's Sassy's favorite word for me.
Oh, that was Andrew. That wasn't Sassy.
Yeah. Okay.
So there you go. I think you had mentioned pre-show that you had a tech question. What was the...
Well, here's the thing.
Okay, here's the thing.
Daniel.
Yes. Yes, Toppy.
It's, you know, certainly I've spent most of my life in the last century. However.
You spent most of your life in the last century.
Yeah, but you know how I have a stupid phone. And some things have been happening lately that lead me to believe that perhaps I could move on at this point and join the 21st century. Just for instance, somebody was showing me their phone and we had some time to waste. So she put on something on Netflix and we were watching some shows. Mm-hmm. And then she showed me Hulu and she like said, you know, you can look at this and you know, they have all these things. See here, Toppy, and look at this and look at that. And I said, God damn, this is cool. Anyways, and also, I just, you know, I don't want to go out just being one of those old men that just have no clue what's going on. So here's the thing. One of the big, I need to be talked into getting a smartphone. And the thing is, I get along just fine without a smartphone. I don't need to get on the internet all the time. And so it really, it's just fine. Except that now, you know, well, I just thought Hulu was kind of cool. But anyways,
now you do know you can get Hulu on your computer. You don't have to have a phone for that.
Yeah. 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 Now here's the thing.
Yes, here's the thing.
So, here I've got where I live, I cannot get cell phone reception.
Okay.
So not only do I have a stupid phone, I have a stupid landline phone. The combined cost is just ridiculous, to be honest with you.
Yes.
And I come to find out there are lots of ways now. Once upon a time, you had to have a contract and you had to sell your firstborn and give blood and all kinds of things to get these smartphones. And it's, you know, expensive, but I don't think anymore. Convince me I should get what would be the cheapest way?
All right, there. Stop right there, Toppy. Stop right there. I'm going to convince you. First, I think we do have. I think we do have some sounds of you calling the tech line earlier. Let's see. It's...
Could be.
Oh man. Who knew that our number was 1234567890? Anyway, here's the thing, Toppy. I think that you should not get a smartphone.
Oh,
are you glad I said that? Here's the thing. Everything that you just mentioned, you know, in this day, in 2015, there is no difference really between a smartphone and a computer. They're computers. That's what they are. They're just self-contained computers. What you need. Because you don't talk on the phone that often.
No.
And this is not something that you need to carry around with you, right? Like, do you need a cell phone, to call home or something out in the world?
That's really the only reason I have it is if my parents need something.
Okay. So currently, what do you have? You have just a little...
It's like a pay-by-the-month flip phone.
And what do you pay per month for that?
$27.
Okay, great. And you're fine with that, right? A little $27 flip phone, which works everywhere except your house, right?
Right.
Okay. But you have the internet in your house, right? You do have an internet connection to your house. You're talking to me on it right this moment.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so what I'm going to suggest, Tabby, is that you pick yourself up. I'm going to turn back on my video so that you can see this. And folks listening at home will not be able to see this, but you can go and find this on Amazon. This is an NVIDIA Shield K1 tablet. Okay, this is an 8-inch tablet that I talked about on last week's show. It's $199. There is no monthly fee or anything like that because it's a tablet. It runs off your Wi-Fi, right? It's a tablet that you have here on your Wi-Fi. However, when you pair that, I don't know if you can see this little icon right here. This is a phone icon.
Okay, now I see it.
Yep. Okay, when you pair your tablet with Google Hangouts and Google Voice, whatever, you can basically use your tablet as a phone in your house by getting like a little pair of Bluetooth headphones, you know, like a little Bluetooth headphone and microphone combo for like $30 or whatever. Uh-huh. You can basically use your tablet as a phone in your house. And that costs you nothing a month. That is free every month. So you basically, it's $199 for the tablet. And then you're done. You don't have to. Google Voice is free. Making calls over the internet is free. When you get your Google Voice number, which you just go to voice.google.com, you basically, you know, put in your address, your email address, and you give them a phone number. And then they give you here's your new phone number, right? And then when you install it on your tablet, you can make, and on your computer, you can make calls from that. Like right now, what we're using Google Hangouts, I can make phone calls from this. It would show up as my Google Voice number. But I can call anyone in the United States or Canada for free. I can call overseas for very little money, whatever. But the point is that then in your house, right, you're like right now, my main phone number, the phone number that I give out to the universe is my Google Voice number. So when someone calls me, it not only rings my phone, but it also will ring on my computer and on my tablet and on the tablet in the other room and on the laptop in the other room. It's like no matter where I'm at, it's going to ring. And whichever device I answer on, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense? So yeah. If I'm out of the house, I'll answer it on my phone. If I'm in the house and I happen to be sitting in the other room, I'll answer it on my Chromebook. If I happen to be sitting here in my office, I'll answer it right here. So it's like, it's all the same number. No one knows that they're calling all these different devices.
Right.
So that would be my suggestion to you, because on that tablet, you can also get Netflix, you can get Amazon Prime, you can get Hulu, and this is a nice big 8-inch tablet as opposed to a phone. So the difference when you're looking at video, right? This is the Nexus 6, which is a 6-inch phone.
Looks bigger.
And this is the NVIDIA Shield, you see, which is an 8-inch tablet. So you see, you get a nice bigger picture over here on the tablet than you would on the phone. So there you go, Toppy. I say get yourself an NVIDIA Shield tablet for $199 on Amazon. That's hell of a deal. $199 is a very nice tablet. That's what I would do.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I like the idea already because that stupid landline phone, $50 a month.
Yeah. See, that's crazy. And then that's this way, this is zero a month, right? This is whatever you're already paying for the internet a month. So yeah. Why not leverage it? I have no landline in this house. I use the internet only.
Yeah. Well, who knows? You know, I may die not. I don't know what I was going to say.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was trying to find something.
You may die leaving the lights on in every room because that's what you do, Toppy. You're irresponsible leaving the tops on, the lights on in every single room. All right, great. Let's get out of there.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it.
3, 2, 1.
Contact is the secret. Here's the moment when everything happens. Contact is the answer. Here's the reason that everything happens. Contact. Let's make contact.
Three, two, one.
Contact. Excellent.
Whoa.
It is the contact segment. Oh, look, I left my video on. You saw me do my little contact dance. How dare
yeah.
you? How dare you?
You were holding up your fingers and
I was. I was doing the contact dance. It's a patented dance that I'm working on. You know what, Toppy? We have phone calls here on this show.
Very good.
Let's get right to them, shall we, with phone call number one.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Daniel. This is Scott. This is Hader, you know. Sater69 on the Twitter shows of the Sater Sphere podcast. Adam, you ignorant slut. Till Death Do Us Part is not a Broadway show. If memory serves, and I am not looking at the Googles right now, I believe Till Death Do Us Part was the British comedy that All in the Family was based on. And so he's talking about how the guy who played the ultra-racist character would be the Archie Bunker of that television show. Mm. Now, I should be looking at the Googles and verifying that I'm correct here, but I'm pretty sure my sense of trivia will let me have this correct. All right, so I will say RT Cruiser does not get a point because nobody watched the British version. But, yeah, okay. I love you, too, so much, you bastards. This is the Sater. Catch you later. Bye-bye.
Aw. Well, thank you. Thank you, Steve. That's very nice. That's Steve DeSater. I don't know if you've heard the show before.
Steve. Oh, all right. Okay.
It's called like the Steve-a-sphere or something like that. I'm not sure what it is. You know what? Steve got the most adorable new kitten. I don't know if you saw that on the Facebooks or not. He got the most adorable new kitten.
Yes. Very teeny tiny with gigantic blue, like...
Yes.
I've never seen eyes like that on a cat.
I haven't either, and I want to tell you, I should tell you this. Let me make sure I have his email correct. Is it Sater's? Yeah. So I need everyone to do this. His cat is a new little kitten. He doesn't know what to name it, and so he was asking people to email him name suggestions. So make sure you send your name suggestions for his cat, his new little kitten. Send them to satersphere@gmail.com. So just send him any kind of name suggestions that you might have for his new little kitten. I think it kind of looks like a Grumbleshinks.
Mm.
What do you think?
That sounds good. I think maybe he's named him already.
No, he's looking for names. It's whatever he's calling it is just a placeholder. Make sure you email your cat names.
Yeah.
Email your cat names to satersphere@gmail.com. Just, I heard you wanted to name your kitten, and here's the name that I suggest.
And if they want to write in, what's the P.O. box?
I don't know the P.O. box. Oh. It's, you mean the other P.O. box. P.O. box something something Woodland Hills, California.
What, yes, that one.
What is that one? Wait, hold on. P.O. box. She's going to type it before I can say this. P.O. box 561, Woodland Hills, California, 91365.
Or Woodhaven, California.
So you need to send Sater an email, satersphere@gmail.com, naming his little cat, his new little kitten. There you go.
Very good.
That's all I'm saying. He'll get no email. Nobody.
I named my last cat after one of the cats in the T.S. Eliot poem, and it was so she was Rumpelteazer.
Rumpel?
But I just called her Teaser.
You just called her, and you called your dog Soder.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I don't know.
We have another voicemail. Shall we get to that? I have nothing to say about your cat. I don't know.
That's fine.
Okay. I have three cats.
Rumpelteazer.
I don't know. I have Buzzy and Celine and Princess.
Mm, very, very nice.
It's fascinating, isn't it? All right, let's get to our next phone call, shall we? It comes in. And let's see.
Hello? This is Jesus. And I'm fuming. No, I'm really pissed off. You know what? Hey, Adam. Daniel.
Adam's not here.
You know, yeah. I mean, you could have called me. You could have called me.
I don't know.
Who do you think is the real star of the Smellcast? What,
no,
Tappy?
Jesus.
I don't think so.
Cricket?
No, you could have called me. And what's more, is Tappy's just a fink. Yeah, a fink.
Oh.
I said it, okay? Tappy's a fink because he never said a word about this to me. Yeah, so I'm pissed off, and I don't mind telling you.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, Tappy, if you can hear this.
Yes. Jeepers.
I like Sassy has those dial tones there. That's great. Yeah.
Mature. Very mature. Yeah, what? So, do you know that as far as sound effects goes, these stupid new phones we have suck? Because when you want to hang up on somebody, when you're just doing audio,
right,
cell phones, it doesn't work. You got to have a hang up sound, and then you got to have the dial tone, which of course you don't hear anymore.
Right, exactly. All of these things, Toppy. all of these things. We're eroding your childhood by getting rid of all of these sounds. You know what? Modern devices should make more sound.
They should. And so, you know. Right. By the way, it's sort of like these digital cameras that have the sound of click.
Oh, I know. It's the first thing I turn off because you cannot surreptitiously take pictures of hot guys in the grocery store when your phone goes, check, check.
Right. It has a shutter.
There's no fucking shutter in there. It doesn't need to make that noise. You know what? That is all the contact that we have this week. So let me just get us out of this little segment here.
Very well. 3, 2, 1.
Excellent. There you go. Toppy, thank you so much for being the guest this week.
Well, I appreciate the invite. I'm glad I could be here. And sorry I couldn't be with Adam. Maybe another time.
Maybe another day. You were going to ask me about excellent, and I don't know why that was. Oh. Why were you going to ask me about that?
Because somebody somewhere on a podcast, and I don't remember who it was, sort of conjectured that the reason you say excellent is because Adam Burns has the last name of what's his face on
Mr. Burns. Yes.
Mr. Burns on that cartoon little show. Mm-hmm.
You know, that podcast was, it's all about Steve. I don't know if you've heard that show before.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about Steve. It has Sam, Evan.
And Greg. Greg.
Sam and Greg. Yeah, Sam, Evan, and Greg is on that show. And they were talking about, no, that has nothing to do with it. I don't know why I say excellent. I have always said excellent. I don't know why.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with Mr. Burns. Although, you know, I wish it was because that would be, you know, fun. Anyway, there you go. Adam, I think we'll be back next week. I can't talk. I think Adam will be back next week.
All right.
Also, next week, we're going to have a special guest on the show for a little bit. His name is Matt Baum. He's written a book called Defining Marriage. He will be here on the program to talk about gay marriage and the book that he wrote about it. And, he will be here next Sunday. So that's next Sunday, whatever that is, December something, December 6th, I think so. Yeah.
Amazing.
December 6th, we'll have author Matt Baum. He'll be on the show. So if you want to join us in the chat room for that, make sure that you do. You can ask him questions and, you know, maybe you can get an autographed copy of his book. I'm not saying that he's giving them away because I haven't talked to him about that, but I'm just saying you could, you know, the worst he could say is no, right?
That's right. He could. Yeah. Gustav.
But the, what is Gustav? What is that? Gustav?
I don't know. Good humor.
Oh, that's a name for Christopher. Yeah, you should send that to satersphere@gmail.com. So anyway, Adam, I think will be back. He was gone. Do you know why he was gone this week?
I'm not sure why.
It was a lawn dart tragedy.
Oh.
DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI Plus, that is 229-234-7587, or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. Nico in the chat room says Matt Baum's podcast, The Sewers of Paris, is really interesting, and you're correct. Matt Baum does do a couple of podcasts. You might have to check in with him next week.
Hard to believe it's literally about The Sewers of Paris every episode.
Apparently, Parisians are full of shit, so they have an extensive sewer system. That is what I believe.
Huh.
Toppy, where can we find you on the internets?
Well, one sure way is to just go over to thesmellcast.com, and there you go.
There you go. Thesmellcast.com. I think Adam also pointed smellcast.com to you anyway. He's not here, but I'm going to try this anyway. Good night, Chet.
Good night, Tom. No. Good night. Oh, Chet and Dick.
David.
David Brinkley. Good night, Brink.